Nerd to the Podcast. O Check It In. Eu mesmo não quero ele. This is so. Comedy podcast time, ladies and gentlemen. How are y'all out there? Welcome to another episode. This is Ken Allen bringing you such a sweet, sweet episode. This is going to be great. Again, wow, what a good day. It's exactly 9 in the AM, and I'm sitting in the studio right now, and I have the golden shafts of light are coming right through the window. It's beautiful, golden bars of light. And if this were a film noir movie right now, I'd be sitting, I have my headphones on, I'd be smoking a cigarette, and you'd see these plumes casting their way through my room, and it'd look gorgeous. You know, I'd be like blowing smoke rings and doing this, the French inhale and all that S word. I'm going to try not to swear as much as I always do, because you know what, I would like to not have the explicit sign on the iTunes. And also, this is supposed to be somewhat educational. I'd like the 8-year-olds to be able to listen. But guess what? It's not the 1940s. You're not doing film noir anymore. We don't smoke. It's not okay, okay, health-wise. We got YOLO. YOLO, bro, ho. You can't beat your body up. We have one life to live. Wasn't that a soap opera? Awesome. We've made a soap opera out of our lives. That is our tag phrase for this generation. Great. But here's my thinking. All right. You can't beat up your life in order to always feel like you're getting the most out of life. It's like this whole generation's issue, I think. Here comes Grandpa Allen telling you exactly what the problem
is. Well, I'll tell you what the problem is with kids these days. All they want to do is live it up for one day, and the next day they wake up with a hangover, you know. And they got to get up, and they got to stretch, and then you're just running, but you're running off all the calories of the beers you were drinking and the peanuts and the big double fat burger you got the night before, you know. And then you get back to the point you were the day before, and you've never gotten anything off.
It's like Jimmy Stewart.
Well, you know, I wonder if I could do Jimmy Stewart. Well, Mary, you see, every day, Smuckers is the answer. You spread it on your wheat toast, and you have some of that in the morning with your black coffee, and then you start your day right, you see, with a morning constitutional and a walk around the neighborhood. And you say hi to old Spot and Frank while they're walking their dog. And then you get back and you do some calisthenics, you know, up, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. And then you get a nice book out. I'm reading Catcher in the Rye.
Oh, shucks. The other song, hang on, I got to shut this thing off. Okay, anyway, that's good. That was a good way to end it. The other recording came through my headphones and shut me down. Thank God. I think that was the hand of Jimmy Stewart up top saying,
enough's enough, jackass. Shut your hole and get back to the podcast.
So, my point is this. I do have one. If you're going to live once, try and think about investing in the future a little bit. Get up and do your morning jog. Clean yourself up. Shave. Clean the bathroom. Get ready so that the house looks nice the next day. You don't want to just live your life like it's some giant high school party, some kind of frat soiree where you're just smashing solo cups against your head and running into the drywall. The next morning you wake up and your house walls look like Swiss cheese. You got peanut shells and puke all over the ground, and you got a pizza on the record player and your best friend's underneath the coffee table. You don't need that kind of lifestyle, because then all you're doing the next day is cleaning up all of the junk you did the day before. All right, invest into the future. Think about having kids. Think about their one life to live and set some kind of trajectory for them to follow through on. You know, science is kind of building on the shoulders of the previous generation. And that's what people today should be doing. So not just for them, but for yourself. You know, get up, eat healthy. I this is my whole kick in the new year. The next episode, hopefully, will be about nutrition. We were going to have a woman on this episode, and she wasn't able to make it. Actually, I wasn't able to get in touch with her because I got too busy. Too busy running calls, too busy doing my job as a lifesaver. So go and be healthy. Clean your mind, your body, your external world. Be the best person you can be so that the next day you're actually moving forward instead of fixing the stuff you screwed up the day before, the year before. You know, I've been running my behind off, literally, and it's good. It's great because I am shedding off some poundage. But I got this giant, look, I got this giant mesomorphic Viking body that, yeah, I'm ripped. I get it. Just kidding, I'm not, and that's the issue. And I got to watch out because these joints that I'm pounding on every day, going up and down hills and stairs and running around the Berkeley campus, the joints are going to start wearing away. I got to watch out. I got to go join a health club that's got a swimming pool so I can go do the butterfly there and get some low impact exercises. I think that's important because sooner or later this big – I haven't seen many older – large people, and it was a kind of awakening going, whoa, there's not too many people over 6'4 around anymore. What happened to all those people? I'm treating a lot of 5'8 150 pound guys, but there's not, you know, at the age of 75 and above, but there's not too many big dudes living anymore. So I gotta really watch the weight. It's suddenly now in my mid-30s I'm realizing oh yeah, that's right, I am gonna die at some point. Oh yeah, that's right. Drinking this beer is the headache the next day and the way your body feels like it was shocked several times by an electric fence the night before because you peed on it. That is a direct result of the lifestyle that I'm living, and you got to cool that off, man. You got to be able to take care of yourself and invest in your own future. And then once you've done that, you can bring that lifestyle back and start thinking about other people. Okay, this is getting way off track, but it's not because you're all still listening. I gotcha. We start this episode off speaking with my good buddy, Mikey, who I work with. And he is, I have no hesitation in saying this guy's a mensch. He is really a truly incredible guy. And I don't know anybody in the department who doesn't go, oh, you're working with him? Man, he's so cool. He's such a great guy. And he really is, and he's hysterical. He cracks me up. We sit around after work at night, you know, after dinner and cleaning up and after we've done all of our patient care reports, and we just I'll be in the other room writing one, and he's in the adjoining office, and I'll just say, hey, Mike, do you ever think this? And the next thing you know, it's 12:30 at night, and it's been 2 hours of us talking, and, like, we're just laughing, and we're getting deep, and like, it's really one of the most rewarding parts of my job is to have met somebody like Mike. You know, no kidding, the guy's a sweetheart. And I'm comfortable enough in my masculinity to call him a sweetheart. I love the guy. He's great. And I don't know anybody who doesn't. So hopefully we have him on many, many, many more podcasts, and we get to break down the issues of the world and talk about just what we can do to save it. He's a new father, and he kind of briefly touches on what that means to him in the episode. And he's an inspiration. He really is a good dude. So listen up. But first, here's your weekly health segment. And now it's time for another installment of Antiquated Health Tips with everyone's favorite man about town bachelor, Mr. Morgan Davenport Lucky. This evening, we find Mr. Lucky in tale with an attractive young female in one of San Francisco's most upscale steak and martini bistros. Let's join him now, shall we?
Oh, Morgan, this is so nice. I do love being here.
Yes, yes, Diane. And the owner is a friend of mine. Look, there he is now.
Two more, Mr. M.
Yes, thanks, Joe. Fine, fine. We'll take two more martini silver bullets, please.
Morgan, you're so cosmopolitan.
Yes, yes, I know. But it's no reason for name-calling, is it?
Oh, I'm so light-headed.
Well, you know what they say about martinis, Diane. One is not enough, two is too many, and three is not enough.
Oh, what I like to do is take the olive of the martini, place it in between my teeth, and sip the gin through it, like so.
Diane, if I didn't know better, I'd swear you were choking. But you're not showing me the universal sign of choking, which would be taking the webbing between your thumb and forefinger of each hand and placing it against your trachea, thus indicating a full-body airway obstruction. I see you are now showing me the universal sign of choking. Allow me to dislodge the object by wrapping you several times against the back until it's dislodged. I'm sorry if this hurts. It's for your own good. And that doesn't seem to be helping. In fact, it seems to be making things worse. I see that you've fallen to the ground, Diane. You know, there are many other things I'd be looking for in case of full foreign body airway obstruction. One of them would be cyanosis, which is a bluing about the face and lips and the nail beds. As I see blushing in you now like a shrieking violet. Now, Diane, there's no reason to pull down the tablecloth with our martinis and sourdough bread basket on top of you. That only makes matters worse. If I didn't know better, I'd swear you'd had one too many martinis. But I know you're choking. Diane, I wish I could help you, but as you know, it's the year of our Lord, 1947, and the Heimlich maneuver will not be invented for another 20-some-odd years. Parting in such sweet sorrow, I'm afraid. Joe, you better just make that one more.
All right, really quick, let's look at the capnography thing.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
All right, Dave.
Let's go through this.
You could probably break it down a whole lot better than I can.
Don't do that to me now. Put me on the spot. You know exactly what you're talking about. Are you looking at who's covering in for you?
Yeah.
Did they get coverage yet?
No, not yet.
Son of a bee sting.
Okay,
capnography. This recording again, just so you know.
Oh.
Capnography is the study of carbon dioxide that is exhaled from the lungs, the body on a person, and you normally want your range to be between 35 and 45 millimeters of mercury. And we check it now electronically on a monitor that... Basically, you have some kind of reading device that sits either at the mouth with a nasal cannula-looking thing, or you can have it attached to the end of an endotracheal tube, and it's reading it, and it reads a number, and it also reads a waveform. And you want to see on the monitor, the waveform should be a nice, quick upward trajectory, followed by a plateau, and then should drop off. If you don't have that, then you have other issues that you're looking at. So too high of carbon dioxide is a bad thing. Too low is a bad thing because then you become alkaline and you got hypoventilation. So, all right, Mike Hidalgo found this kick-ass website. Tell me about it, Mike.
Okay, this website really gives a great example on the capabilities of end-tidal CO2.
Dig it.
Aside from just seeing if somebody is in some sort of respiratory distress, you can also see other things going on with the body, such as cardiac output, you know, pulmonary blood flow.
Okay.
And by really evaluating that number and having a great understanding on what end-tidal CO2 means, I just really think that there's a whole lot of things that this tool provides that's not always utilized.
Absolutely. So, website, paramedicine.com, and it's entitled CO2. So, okay, so what is it saying here? It says you'd love to take credit for this, for the article. Entitled,
I think the caveat here is great in itself.
Okay. Okay.
They basically say they stole the article from somebody. And they give you the permission to steal it too.
Perfect.
But they do not guarantee you that you will not be persecuted. And they do not.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm already
protect you in any way.
No, that's I'm already screwed because I'm putting copyrighted music on the podcast. So might as well just plagiarize everybody at this point.
Yeah, well, I say it's not plagiarism. It's just borrowing and reengineering.
Listen, that's what medicine's all about.
Absolutely,
we build on each other's ideas and theories. We're always standing on each other's shoulders. And I'm giving credit where credit's due. Paramedicine.com, the entitled CO2 portion. So, okay, what were you saying about, I mean, all of this stuff here? So I'm not reading any of it. You do it for me. I'm lazy.
Well, Ken.
Well,
it's a little known fact that CO2, it's a metabolic byproduct of an aerobic process cell metabolism. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, aerobic means
cone oxygen.
Right.
See.
As a process.
Bueno. It's bueno.
Right. Absolutely.
Did you hear my whole theory, dude? Like, people right now in society, like, when they don't have an answer for anything, they say three things. It's either it's either science. They just go, like, you're like, well, how do they do that? I don't understand. And they just go, dude, science. They'll do that, or science, or the second one is the internet, dude. It's just the internet.
Google it,
dude. It's internet. How do you figure the internet? I wonder if we could check, dude. The internet.
Yeah, I can explain it to you, but it'd be complicated. Just Google it.
Internet.
Easier.
Science, internet, or the new one that I've realized is lasers.
Lasers,
bro. Dude, anything can be described. Anything is a catch-all is science, internet, or lasers.
Lasers could take over the world.
I could take the world over with lasers.
Tracker beam?
Oh, yeah. Tracker. Dude. We were talking about that whole thing with, like, the fact that they're making lasers now that can, like, they're in satellites that can literally just pinpoint a single person on Earth and fucking
vaporize them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Star Wars.
Yes.
Right?
Star Wars, dude.
Was that the program? Star Wars? Is that what Star Wars?
Star Wars was the program for shooting missiles, ICBMs out of the atmosphere.
Gotcha.
While flying towards them. It was all a lie. It was a pretty damn good, hoax or bluffing. But apparently they actually kept it going, and now they can do some pretty crazy stuff with it.
Now they just do it with a laser instead of ICBM.
That's right, dude. They use the internet to scientifically look up an individual on Earth and then laser beam them out.
Right.
Zap. All right, sorry. Get back to this.
Hey, no, absolutely. And, you know, talking about, you know, someone would be pulseless and apneic, usually with an ET tube. There are those people, which you did show me, Dr. Levitan.
Yeah, dude.
Who can place it consciously. And,
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I should get him one.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great guess. Yeah.
I think he was on ER.
Really?
Yeah, I think Michael Crichton saw his lecture and he's like, all right, let's get him on the show.
Really?
Yeah. You know, Michael Crichton was a doctor too, right?
I did not know.
Michael Crichton was a Harvard trained doctor. And while he was in Harvard Medical School, on his off time, he wrote the book Andromeda Strain.
Right, that's in the off time. That's what normal people do. Some people go to Hawaii. Some people.
Some people sleep.
Right.
Crichton wrote a book.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is he the Jurassic Park guy?
Yeah, Jurassic Park guy, a Congo sphere. What else? I mean, there's a bunch of books, but I'm thinking of the movies that he also were made. ER was his baby. Andromeda Strain was one of them. Westworld. Did you ever see Westworld?
I did not.
When robot cowboys take over the world.
Oh, yeah. Make it happen. Just like Star Wars.
Yeah. Robot cowboys that look like Yul Brynner. That's good. That's good.
Robot cowboys.
I'm a robot cowboy.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you know, I could see this discussion on entitled CO2 is just mind blowing.
It is, though.
Actually is very interesting stuff.
You can't really talk about waveforms here, but the one thing we talk about, that's cool, is because what you're measuring is the amount of CO2 coming out with every breath, it goes right up to a plateau and it should stay there. But if somebody has constricted bronchial tree, you're getting more CO2 as they are finally able to exhale more and more and more. So what you get is not a plateau, but you get a shark tooth looking thing where it starts off with a low amount of CO2 being exhaled and it becomes higher and higher and higher. So you get a kind of a wave, and then when they stop breathing, it drops off. So it looks like a shark tooth, or it looks like a sawtooth.
Right.
So, I mean, it's interesting just by looking at the morphology or the shape of that stuff, you can tell what potentially is going on. So this is showing you a whole bunch of different waveforms and saying what it may actually be or what's occurring with the patient or your tube or your ventilations or your respirations or all of it.
Absolutely. And there's other things that you can tell, again, you know, from that number, you mm-hmm. know, and you know, just bringing it back to it being a diagnostic tool almost for us.
Totally.
You know, and what we have a few of those. We have blood glucose monitoring.
Yep.
We have end tidal,
mm-hmm.
12 lead EKGs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so really it's a tool that can give you some diagnostic things that's truly maybe perhaps going on with the patient.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that somewhat of an oxymoron? Truly, perhaps?
Yeah, it's like most unique.
Right.
I had somebody say that to me the other day. You're most unique or something like that. You're pretty original.
Right.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks.
Tell me about your hardest tube.
My hardest tube.
You've been doing pretty well on your tube so far. What's going on? What's going on?
Yeah, I've been doing great. Overall, I'm about 30%.
Oh,
and,
come on. Really?
No,
no, you're much better.
Might be a little bit better.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short. This is for posterity.
Right. Well, you know, I think, you know, going back to tubes, Ken, is just like what we were talking about, was it's something we don't do anymore. Not, or we don't do as often.
Yeah.
You know, it's becoming a lost art.
Sneaking around.
So I did, I had the pleasure of being with you on a call where I thought you did an outstanding job at getting a tube.
It didn't change anything, but I got the tube.
Right. And you made it known?
I was moonwalking in the back of the ambulance.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was actually a great tube. Full C-spine, no compromise in the patient's position, major trauma victim.
While compressions are going on, no big deal.
Bumpy ambulance. And I thought that was very impressive, and I think it maybe took you, honestly, I was performing another task, but maybe 30 seconds.
Maybe.
No compromise of C-spine, and ultimately, I thought you did an outstanding job.
Dude, and we kind of talked about this before, but, like, this is my whole thinking on, like, that stuff. Like, if you're nervous about something, then every time you go to do it, your brain goes into the negative mindset. And it's like, uh-oh, here's another time for me to screw this up. Like, you got to build, like, little, like, joy moments for that. And, like, for me, when I put the laryngoscope in there and I see the little arytenoid cartilages, like, the things around the larynx, I get excited. So, like, bam, there it is. And, like, instead of getting negative about it, like, I might miss this, it's like, bam, there it is, I saw it. So now I'm already succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm starting to create, like, a positive thing. And then when I pass the tube right through there, boom, like, it just feels like it's a good thing, and, like, I'm going after that each time.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't see it, then I start getting, like, where is it? And I, like, work harder to get there instead of being like, oh, this is it. I'm not going to see it again, and I'm going to start failing on this. It's like, no, like, it's in there somewhere. Where is it? I got to find it. No, there it is. And, like, just that kind of thinking like that is such a better way of, like, performing your work, I think. You know what I mean?
I definitely agree.
Check this out. Yesterday on the it's Canardi. What's been hooking back in? Me thinking on this stuff is like being positive end up making life more enjoyable and like easier to do shit.
Right.
Easier to get things accomplished.
You
yesterday
know,
on that fire, like
mm-hmm.
I didn't know where the tarps were. I just showed up at engine at truck 30, and I hadn't had a chance to look at anything.
We got another special guest here.
Hey, what's happening, Canardi? Everybody, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody. How are you today?
I like the singing part. Can you give us a little demonstration?
What she does is magic. Tell my home. So,
why are you getting shy now?
Getting a little podcast going.
What are we talking about today, guys?
We're talking about how being positive helps you out in life.
You're very positive.
What are you talking about? Look at this guy. Comes in and singing at 7 in the morning. Yeah.
I need some coffee, though.
Yeah, me too.
You want another cup? You want another cup? You guys want a cup?
You just get a cup. We'll get a cup.
What's your discussion today?
We're going over CO2. We're going over entitled CO2, and then we got sidetracked. I'm just chatting it up.
Oh, man. I hit the air horn on you first.
That's right, baby.
Then I come in here singing.
Right.
This is raw. And
dude, this is organic. This is Fire Station dynamic.
This is where it goes.
It's the best.
Awesome, man. This is good stuff.
Yeah, we're trying it out. This is the first time we've done it.
I like the singing part. That was great. And then it was just like, oh.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Everything slowed down.
So your truck 30.
So yeah, I went to go grab a tarp and I couldn't find a tarp. Who's that? Oh, what is that?
Oh, no, that was just the door opening, the vacuum that was created by another door.
Whoa, science.
Right, it's science. I can
science,
tell you,
dude.
It's science.
Like, I didn't know where the tarps were in that, and I went to go grab the tarp, and I'm like, oh, this is where it was on 35, and I look, and I'm like, it's not there. And you start panicking, you know, you start running. And you're like, now if somebody's watching, they're watching me open every door on the truck, and they're like, this guy doesn't know where anything is. And it's not a full blown panic, but you definitely go into like a panic kind of mode. And you're like, it's not in there either. It's not in there either. And
you almost feel it start in your feet and kind of work up your calves. And then when it hits your heart and above, then you know you're really into it.
You're screwed.
But you know, the whole thing is, even if they can't see you open the cabinet, they hear it.
Yes!
They hear it every single row. Yeah. And the worst thing is, I think it's the sound that's even worse.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. And instead of like, the funny thing was, I went and opened every one of them, and I'm like, wait a minute, it's in here. There's no way I miss it. Like, but the panic almost gets, it's like, what if I never find it? What if we never get this? It's never going to get
there. Absolutely. That's a great analogy.
It's crazy, right? And then it's like, no, there's a tarp in here. I will find it. Where is it? And I went back to the first one I opened, and it was right there. There were three of them. They were the disposables instead of the old canvas ones that we carry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, see, if I had just gone there and there was no stress, there was nothing, not like, oh my God, I wonder if I'm going to find it. You just open it and be like, oh, there it is. You know, it's just, if you go in with your brain thinking that way and nervous, like, you miss stuff. You do a bad job because you're worried you're going to. It's bizarre, right?
Yeah, you're obsessing about it. It's almost like that, you know, that sympathetic response, you know?
Yeah.
You get tunnel vision, your brain brings you in, your vision gets sharper, but you just fully get tunnel vision, you know?
Yeah. What were you going to say? You said some of it. Dead airspace, Mike.
Dead airspace, yes.
It's not
yes. Good, well, this is exactly what we don't want.
So far, you're screwing up everything. Don't panic,
this is my
but you're ruining
right
my interview.
Well, you know, talking about, you know, even when you go and, you know, you're saying when you tube and stuff.
Yeah.
If there's a skill, you know, that I haven't done in a while and I have some anxiety about it, it kind of sounds crazy, but it's almost like an athlete, you know, where
totally.
They say you have to visualize before a game. You know, you can picture yourself hitting the home run or scoring the touchdown or whatever. I found out, you know, in the morning, I can just picture myself doing the skill and, you know, when I show up to work or whatever it is, it just takes a lot of that anxiety away. And there's been a few times where, you know, I've thought about that skill. Hey, I haven't done that in a while. And of course, being the Irish man you are, there's Murphy's Law.
Totally.
And you end up having to perform that skill. And it's kind of ironic that, you know, just thinking about something, taking away that anxiety and going through it in your head can really put you at ease. And and how the mindset, I guess, is a huge part of this job.
Totally is.
You know?
And I think that's just getting either just visually or mentally walking through the steps of something that stresses you out is a good practice to just get through those natural stresses in life. It's like when we do scenarios for EMT students, there's nothing in the patient, none of their problems are going to be something they haven't studied yet. They should be able to treat all the things technically. They've learned all the skills. They know what the signs and symptoms are, and they should be like, oh, okay, this is shortness of breath from asthma. But just that added factor of them in front of the class, talking to somebody, everyone's watching them, that stress level that you create just doing a scenario and being like, okay, you know what, treat him. That whole part of your brain just starts going into overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you're used to just going, okay, yeah, I am stressed out, but I am going to work through this. You know, okay, so what? Everyone's watching me. Worst thing that could happen would be like, okay, I don't know what's going on with this guy. I give up. It's like, okay, yeah, your brain is giving up, but you can't leave the patient. You can't just say, I give up. It's like, okay, well, then do your best after that point.
Yeah.
You know? And work through it. And then later on, the next time, you're going to be like, oh, here's that feeling again. I'm going to be a little bit better at dealing with it when I'm trying to treat the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you almost get like, dude, I got it. I'm stressed out, but what's going on with this patient? I know, I feel that, but you put it aside and you start like actually treating the patient, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's kind of like just by envisioning in the morning, like, okay, no, I'm going to hit that tube. It's going to go right in, boom, slide in, slip it. Like, you don't even stress about it.
You know, and you know, so much about this job too is you draw from your past experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a bad experience or something, you miss an IV attempt when someone has bulging veins.
Yeah.
Your next IV attempt, you're a little, sometimes you could be a little shaky.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to jump back on that horse again and,
yeah,
and attack it head on, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you miss a tube or sometimes, you know, you just go back to a past experience and you associate yourself in that, at that moment.
Yeah. That's the whole thing, dude. You're right.
Yeah.
Don't start thinking about that when we're doing this interview, dude. No,
right, right.
But you're right. No, that's the same. Like, I missed like two IVs, and it's like, oh, here we go again. I'm on the downward spiral.
Yeah.
You know? And like, because it's weird. Like, your brain. What?
And then people are relentless.
And the people, yeah. Oh.
You know, they're not going to let you know that. You're like, no, I swear I can do this.
Yeah, let's get the engineer in here to start the IV. You're obviously not going to hit it. Somebody's calling now. See, look at this. This is a regular morning. What'd you have last night? Any good calls?
What'd I have?
Without going into HIPAA.
Right.
What chief complaints?
We had a postictal patient.
Lovely.
And we had
after seizure.
What else do we have? Isn't it funny how just these calls can just blur together? You
I
can
know.
Have the call within 2 hours and you already forget what it was for.
And then we're supposed to remember these when we go to court.
Actually,
we have to go to court.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Actually, what?
I had two seizure patients.
Hey-o,
that's
seizure day.
Seizure day.
It was, is that what you going to say?
Yeah. It was breathing and seizure day yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's funny how you can get the themes of the day as well.
Dude, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Demographic areas.
Yeah.
Or just you go to the same part of your same first two.
Yeah.
That whole area, the whole day. And
yeah.
It's the same type of call. It's just there's some weird parallel or gravity or...
Yeah, dude.
Going on. It's
yes.
Just, it, that blows me away.
That's weird,
there's
right?
There's a theme of the day. Yeah.
There are theme days. It's like, oh, it's chest pain day. Everybody's got chest pain. Everybody's got heart issues. And then there's seizure day.
Yes.
You go to 4 or 5 seizures. Or there's hypoglycemia day. Everybody's got diabetic issues.
Fall day.
Yeah, what
the
is that?
Gravity goes off in the world. I don't know.
Dude, you know, I always picture, it's crazy, but I always like picture like the Old Testament, like the angel of death flying over Egypt. You know, and it's like, here's the seizure angel flying over like southern San Jose. And like, just affecting anybody who's on the, like, who's on the tightrope with seizure issues. It's creepy, though.
It's gonna happen, yeah.
It's really creepy.
It is.
Because it's uncanny. Like, where does that come from?
And see, I feel like a dork sometimes because I'm actually given that thought. I mean, people that have been doing this job for years, I don't think they think about that as much. I guess I'm one of the newer guys.
I don't know. I think they
do. But
I'm
just like, whoa, there's a phenomenon going on here, you know?
You guys all know this? It's all seizures, dude?
Yeah, and it just seems like to a lot of people, they're just like, oh, no, that's just the way it goes.
But
I'm like, no, there's really something going on.
See, so then you look at that and you're like, is it superstitious to think that way? Or is it like we're talking about, like, you know, mathematicians and things? Like, is there a formula we could actually study here to predict this kind of stuff?
To predict a pattern.
Well, what is the factors that's causing that? I mean, you could see something, you know, like shortness of breath. Yeah, there's something in the air.
Mm-hmm.
But seizure?
Yeah. Was there seizure desk going on? I mean, how does that happen?
What's seizure desk, dude?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, late spring, Caesar pollen comes out.
Sprinkling, the Caesar fairy comes by and sprinkles it about.
Everybody loves the Caesar fairy. Look at them all dancing. Yay! Oh, that's not dancing.
Oh, God.
And we're going to hell.
Well, we already talked about that. I'll see you there. Well, you know, even if you figure certain weather, how those hot summer nights just brings out, you know, a lot of chaos sometimes. Or
that makes sense, though.
Aside from just the alcohol, or just the full moon theory, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of brings out some weirdness.
Brings out the lunatics, dude.
Yeah.
That's where the term lunatic came from.
That's right.
Lunar. Lunatic. What's even better is hysterical. It comes from hist, which is female gynecological parts. Like hysterectomy.
Uh-huh.
Like you're being hysterical. You're being very womanly part oriented right now.
Wow.
Yeah, like girls hysterical women. Yeah.
So is that like for, because you're being irrational?
Yeah, kind of PMSing. Yeah. And yeah. Like, yeah, irrational behavior and just with unable to talk reason to, I guess, whatever our definition of hysterical.
Right. And again, we're just stating the root of the word.
Dude, it's science.
Right.
I don't make these things up. I just report on the facts.
Should I have preempted, or should you have preempted your podcast by that you do not endorse my views?
I don't endorse my views.
Right, right.
Exactly. What the hell do I know? We tried to discuss CO2 on this thing.
And here we are talking about female parts and mood swings.
Yeah, it's as if we know most about.
Right.
Mike, you just had a kid. How's your kid doing? Your little baby girl.
Oh, she's great. She's amazing. Changes every day. I cannot believe you truly see the beauty of life having a child. And she's amazing. I there's no other words to describe her. Just amazing.
Love it.
Can't wait to get home, see her smile. Yeah, exactly. And thanks for plugging my name, so when my wife does stumble upon on this, that
she will. Dude, do you want to make a, you gotta have a nickname then. Should we call you
Johnny Fever? WKRP.
Johnny,
it's kind of ironic, you know.
Venus Flytrap.
Yeah, Venus Flytrap.
Johnny Fever is good. Johnny Fever is good. All right. And we'll shut it down for now. And Mike, you're a mensch. You're everybody's favorite firefighter.
Thanks.
I do love being here, man. This is like the greatest station. This is the greatest spot that I've ever been in.
Absolutely, dude. And I agree, man. And it'll just get better even with time, dude.
Yeah, as long as I keep the squad here, dude, we're set.
Are we going to make you bilingual? We gotta, yeah. We'll
no, but then it's your spot. I'm in, dude. Dios mío, dude.
Yeah.
Dao.
Come you not have. Yeah, the Dao movement. Pain when you go, when you move your bowels. The Dao movement. Well, you know, you gotta be careful with Dao, because I guess it can mean bad things too. So all in your pronunciation.
Oh, really?
I was talking to somebody. Actually, Christian could probably tell us.
All right.
Who speaks Vietnamese?
Yeah.
And you got to be careful, because I think you can. You're basically saying, you could say "fuck you."
Oh, sweet.
So I mean, I don't know if they're actually taking the "dao." Like, no, like, that's what they might look at you a little mortified when you say that sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I didn't know that. Yeah. "Dao."
Well, pretty much your podcast sucks, and I'm not impressed with you. You're a great conversationalist, man, and I look forward to more stuff that you put out. It's been a pleasure to be able to talk to you and.
Dude.
Next time, if I'm not so sleep deprived.
No, it's good. You have no idea, everybody's listening. What's happening? You have no idea. We just sit and talk for like 3 hours. Dude, we'll just sit and talk for hours, with or without a mic. And it's like the greatest conversations I've been able to have in years.
Thanks, buddy.
You have no idea how much this means to me to like be able to do that. So, all right. So, This is it for now. Ken,
it's been a pleasure, Ken.
Signing off for Mike, Johnny Fever, Hidalgo, saying, if you got it, use it. This is Elvin Bishop, strutting my stuff. Available on iTunes. Check him out.
My strength.